So this week's Parshas Mishpatim, so I thought I would talk about some of the issues relating to car accidents in Halacha. I'm going to try to do this quickly, but just make sure we understand everything. The Mishnah tells us in Source 1, I don't have it printed out, but we know this other Mu'ad Le'olam, that a person is responsible for all his actions, whether they're by shogeg, whether they're by accident, or even by onus. Onus gomer is a shayla, but things even beyond your control, you're responsible for. Now, the Mishnah tells us in the third parak, Zeba v'chavisa, Zeba k'araso. So two guys are walking in opposite directions. In this Mishnah, you have to understand, it's always the chavis that breaks. The log that crashes into the barrel never breaks. It's always the barrel that breaks. So if they're walking in opposite directions, they crash into each other, so nobody pays, meaning the guy who, you know, who's holding the barrel is going to lose the money. Because each one had permission to be walking. But if they're walking one behind the other, so basically, I'm not going to read the whole Mishnah, the guy in the back is always at fault for crashing into the person in front, whether it's the guy with the log or the guy with the barrel. You know, the crash can happen either way. Unless the guy in the front said, stop, I'm about to stop. In which case, then, I'm sorry, if he gave enough warning, then the guy in the back is responsible. But if he didn't give enough warning, the guy in the front is responsible. Meaning he wasn't supposed to stop, the guy who crashed into him is responsible. Okay? Now, the Gemara has a case, which according to Rashi is... It's the same case. Shneim bereshus or shneim shelo bereshus. Hiziku zeh chayavim. Who's kuzeh bazeh peturim? You have two people who are either with, they're both doing, operating with permission, or both operating without permission. If they are mazik zeh bazeh, Rashi says be a dayim actively, so then they each have to pay for each other's damages. Who's kuzeh bazeh? But if it's passive somehow, then they're both potter. And if one is bershus and one is shelo bershus, the person who is shelo bershus, the one who's acting without permission, has to pay for everything. Okay, so Rashi says that's a direct application of the Mishnah. We'll see that Rambam has a different approach. The Nemuka Yosef just adds a few things to this. One is that the reason why somebody is liable if they if he stops short is because he's acting without permission. If he stops, let's say, to readjust his load, which is normal, so then he's not liable. Okay? And number three, this is a question. Why is the guy who short stops considered a maznik? It's bor, meaning anytime you leave something in the middle of public property. So that's called bor. That's not other maznik. And bor, you don't pay for kalim. You're not responsible. If a guy walks into a pit and he gets hurt, you have to pay for the damages that are caused to him. But if he's if he has his cell phone on him and the cell phone gets cracked, so Boris Potter Bekalim. You don't have to pay for Kalim. So here you have Chavis, you have a barrel that gets broken. So why do you have to pay for it? It's Bor. So he answers that a person who stops in the middle somewhere, that's not called Bor, that's called Adam Hamazik, because he has control over his body. The Tosfos Rid takes it a step further. He says that that if a person falls on the ground and he's disabled or incapacitated at the moment, that's a bore. But if he has the ability to get up and move out of the way, then it's not a bore. Okay. Now, what does Bershus and Shlo Bershus mean? So I kind of translated it literally, with permission, without permission. Chazon Ish basically says that Bershus means you're following the rules of the road. Shlo Bershus means you're not following the rules of the road. So if you violate the rules of the road, so then you are acting Shlo Bershus, and you're going to be responsible for the damage. The Rambam, when he quotes this sugya, so he distinguishes between accident, between something that happens by accident and on purpose. If you look in the third line, v'chinim hayu shnehem bershus, v'shnehem shelo bershus, v'hizik echad mehem mam chavir shelo b'kavona pater. That if it's a mazik shelo b'kavona, it was done without intent to cause damage, it's pater. But the Chazon Ish points out that it's going to effectively be the same as Rashi, because the distinguishing feature here of Shelo Bershus versus Rishus is whether you're following the rules or not. So if you're following the rules, so yeah, you're going to be potter, but you know, there's never going to be damage if somebody's acting, if somebody's acting Shelo Bershus and there's damage, so you're never going to call that Shelo Kavana anyway. So effectively, the Chazon Ish points out that Rashi and the Rambam say the same thing. So the the responsibility for the damage goes based on who's following the rules and who is not following the rules. So if a person makes an illegal U-turn, or he switches into a lane when he's not supposed to have the right of way, or you can go through a million cases like this, so then he's liable. Now, in American law, if you stop short, you're not liable. But you could say that really it's a function of bershus v'shelo bershus, meaning now that the driving law has kind of placed responsibility on the person in the rear to make sure that he keeps enough distance to stop, so if he was too close that he couldn't stop, so he's the one who's shelo bershus. So even though in the Mishnah, the guy who stops short is responsible, besides that, you could argue that the taillights themselves are the warning that the Mishnah talks about, and so if he wasn't back further, if he wasn't far enough back and the taillights went on, he wasn't able to stop, so that's called driving shelo bershus. And then the third application, based on the Mugiosif and the Tosfos Rit, if the car is disabled, meaning the car, you can't move the car, and then somebody crashes into it, that would be a bor. A bor is pater b'kalim. But if somebody's stopped in the middle of the road for some other reason, he has the ability to move it and he doesn't, so that might be more like adam hamazik, unless it's a self-driving car. But if he himself put the car there and he doesn't move it, so that might be adam hamazik. Now, how do you assess damages? Here's where, excuse me, when the rubber hits the road. The halacha in damages is that you pay for the difference of the cost before of the item before the damage versus the cost of the item after the damage. So if I have something, any item, and it costs $100, and then somebody broke it, and now it's worth nothing, so the cost is $100. If it's now worth $50, so the cost, the damage that's paid is $50. The Shach says that that's only if the item's not repairable. If it's repairable, then you have to pay for the cost of the repair. So the Chazon Ish points out something which is quite common in these types of situations. He says, let's say you have somebody who has a house. The house would sell, let's say, for $300,000. A guy is in the house and he scratches a wall. So what's the house going to sell for now? Going to sell for the same $300,000, right? Because there are other scratches on the wall, and anyone who's going to buy it is going to do a paint job anyway. So is he pater legamre from the damages? So the Chazon Ish says, according to the Shach, you would say, well, nevertheless, he has to pay for the cost of the damages. And it could be more than a scratch. It could be, it could be more significant and still wouldn't change the price of the house. But the Chazon Ish himself points out that that other Rishonim seem to disagree and say that you always follow the market value. So if the market value doesn't change, you'd be putter. So that's the issue. So if you have, let's say, a fender bender, the guy already had a bunch of dings on his car. Somebody crashed into him. So the price of the car, he goes to try to sell it at CarMax or whatever, he's going to get the same exact price for the car, whether that dent was there or not. So according to what the Chazon Ish quotes from the Shita Mekubetz, he's pater legamre. According to the Shach, so you'd have to pay for the damage of that little dent. Now, personal injury. So we know that this is in the Torah, in this week's Parsha, about the five things they have to pay. But lahalacha, I'm going quickly here, lahalacha, the Gemara says that nowadays that we don't have dayonim smuchim, we don't have bona fide smicha, so we're not done gzeilos v'chavalos, meaning we only pay for medical bills and Shulchan Aruch says right, nezek tzar pagam bonos shukover aval sheves ripoy magvin. So you pay for medical bills and for workers' comp, but you don't pay for the other three. And the Ramah says even ripoy and sheves you're not done. So what does the Ramah say? What you try to do is you try to appease the victim here and try to make him whole, but the bezdin can't go through each of the five things in specific. At maximum sheves and ripoy is what you would pay for. So now here's the question, because if you had a car accident with another Jew, so what's going to happen? So he's going to say, well, what do you mean? What are you coming to me for? I have insurance. Let the insurance company deal with it. Or you could have it the other way, that that he tells him, you know, I don't want you to go to the insurance company. I want to deal with this without the insurance company, or the person who's at fault might say, I don't want to deal with the insurance company because I don't want my rates to go up. Now, halacha and insurance payments are going to diverge significantly, because in halacha, almost all the cases you can get out of, either you could say that the car wasn't worth anything anyway, or you could say it's grama, or it was not a classic case of shelo b'rishus. You could find, a case to be made that I wasn't acting shelo b'rishus, and the insurance company would just pay the money just like that. So, A, do you have to go to a Besdin to deal with a case between two Jews? And B, how do you assess, given that that insurance is part of the picture? So, we don't have time to go through this whole thing. This is probably a chabura in and unto itself. What is the status of insurance according to halacha? Does halacha recognize the concept of insurance as a legal entity? And if it does, how does it do so? And here's the chakira. When in the 1800s, this was a very popular question. That's when people said, after the Great Fire of London, people started to write insurance policies in their houses, and this became an exciting thing among the achronim. And they basically ask, I'm just going to bare bones it here, is insurance external to the to what you're guaranteeing, or is it part and parcel? Is it the arev, is it the guarantor on the actual thing? One of the cases that Or Samech discusses, and there are many more, but one of the cases he discusses is a renter took out full achrayas for the home. And he said, I'm going to pay for whatever damages happen, including fire, whatever. The homeowner then took out an insurance policy, and the house burnt down. So the renter says, you're getting money from the insurance company, you can't ask me to pay for the achrayas for the house, and then also take the insurance money. And the landlord said, what do you mean? The insurance is external, meaning it's like an option. I bought it on contingency, and now I should be able to collect from you and from the insurance company. So Or Samech points out from the Gemara that the landlord seems to be right. The Gemara has a case, Shataf Naha Chamoro. So let's say Reuven has a chamor that's worth $200. Shimon has a chamor that's worth $100. They both end up in the river. So, and the guy with the $200 chamor knows how to swim. So he says, you know what? You give me $100, the guy with the $100 chamor knows how to swim. You give me $100, I'll go get your $200 chamor out of there, and I'm going to let mine go. So he says, fine. So he gives him $100. He gets the $200 chamor out, and lo and behold, his chamor ends up making it out. So the Gemara says that the owner of that $100 chamor gets to keep his chamor, meaning he paid him $100 for his service. He did the service. That was his insurance, so to say, for his chamor, but the chamor made it out. So Or Samech says that you can have a double collection. Yeah, like a minute here. So how does this play out? So Rav Sternbach says the following. Let's say that the guy who is supposed to pay says, I don't want you to deal with the insurance company. I want to deal with it. I want to deal with it directly. But I want to pay according to halacha. I don't want to pay according to the rules of the road. So Rav Sternbach says you can't do that. Meaning anyone who's on the road is kind of doing it with an implied condition that they're going to make payments based on what the insurance companies pay. Everyone has to have insurance in order to drive, and therefore, if you're on the road, you're working with the assumption that you're going to get compensated for damages based on what the insurance company is going to pay. Yet, Rav Sternbach says that because the guy's insurance rates are going to go up, and according to halacha, he's not really entitled, meaning the person who was damaged, is not really entitled to all the payments, so so some compensation should be made back towards the guy who's at fault to pay for his rising rates, because that's his pshar. Rav Bloy also says that you follow the rules of the road. He doesn't talk about compensating the guy at fault for his insurance rates, but that's what Sternbach says, and I think that's what the din will do in this case. That you have to give some consideration to the fact that if it ended up in a din Torah without the insurance, the guy would have gotten nothing, or he would have gotten a lot less, and therefore some of the money that he gets for his damage should go back to the mazik for his rising insurance rates. That's awesome.
You said you treat like a bore, so if somebody like parked their car in no traffic.
Yeah, if he walks.